history with the podcast guy, Matt King.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Unfortunately, for some, our topics that we talk about may be offensive to some people.
The topics that we discuss could also be triggers, and we want you to be aware of that.
If you are in need of help, please talk to a professional, a family member,
or a friend. We are not medical professionals, and we don't claim to be.
We are just two guys with a microphone
and a platform.
Please listen with discretion.
Welcome to This Time in History, guys. I'm Matthew, and we're back again with another episode. Today, I'm going to be talking with Esther Brzezinski. Is that correct?
Esther Brzezinski. I can't even say it. Esther Brzezinski. You got me there. It's a tongue twister for sure. Brzezinski.
She is a voice actor, among other things. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you for reaching out. Usually, you know, it's funny when I'm interviewing people, it's usually always me reaching out. I love it when people reach out to me. That's a new thing. I got to get used to that.
Yes, you absolutely should. Yes, you were highly recommended. And I figured, yeah, why not? I like to talk about my story. And if it does inspire just one person, it's absolutely worth it. So
absolutely. So I don't know if you listened previously, but this is how I do my interviews. I give you the floor. You can tell your story in your own words at your own pace. I'd love to hear how you got into the industry, or you can start wherever you like.
Sure. So I am 65 years young. And a few years ago, I pivoted from being a small business entrepreneur to getting into showbiz. I started with voiceover work, and I sort of did it as a side hustle while I continued that business. And then the pandemic happened. And what I was doing before, because I was doing a lot of pop-up sales, I had a fashion accessory business. And it was home-based. So I had a store for a few years, and then I did a lot of pop-up sales, and all that stopped. And I was not going to start getting into, going online and selling, because the competition was ridiculous. And I was already doing voiceover. I was already taking some acting classes. I felt that I needed that type of background to continue being a good voiceover artist. You actually need to know how to do voice acting as well. And I kind of got the acting bug from that. So, with that, I started taking some online classes during all the lockdowns, and met some people who were podcasters, and they suggested that I should consider getting into podcasting. In the interim, I did a little bit of acting, and right prior to the lockdowns, I was doing some student films. And I started to... I was actually mentored by one of my classmates and learned the ins and outs of podcasting. And I basically have two broadcasts/podcasts at the moment. I'm just going to backtrack a little bit and say that in December of 2020, I became very ill. It was not COVID. It was ulcer related. I didn't even know I had an ulcer, and I became very ill. And they thought all kinds of horrible possibilities. And once I got a clean bill of health, which took about a month and a half, I actually decided that, this is it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take all this seriously. I was dabbling in that industry. I wasn't taking it as a serious vocation. It was just sort of a, side thing. And I decided that's it. I'm going to get serious. I'm going to get headshots. I'm going to get try to get an agent, etc. And while that shift in mindset happened, I also met someone who felt that I would be good as a podcaster in one of my classes. And he basically, like I said, became my mentor, showed me the ropes. So I started doing my own broadcast called Esther's Breeze, and it's on the Esther's Breeze YouTube channel. And then a few months later, I decided with my mentor to co-host this little show called Noon Hour Out of the Box. And we basically talk about things out of the box. And what started as a 15-minute show now is more like a 60-minute show. And, it was the time, because we didn't have a lot to do, that, you know, people were gravitating towards broadcasts and podcasts, and a lot of them were emerging at the same time. But, you know, we had success with that. And in addition, when all this was happening, I also got into a bit of content creation, which I had started, you know, in social media when I had my small home-based business. And once I decided to shift from selling accessories to basically selling myself, I sort of found an audience when I started talking about my age. And I use this term, which is age is not my cage. And it's also a hashtag that I use. And I actually went on TikTok, of all places, because I started putting a little bit of my podcasting on there. And I was sort of finding out that it's sort of up and coming, and it was aging up. It wasn't just, a place of a bunch of teenagers dancing. In fact, there was a demographic of 40 plus on that platform. So I decided to investigate that. And I did I think it was a 17-second post about how people perceived what a 64-year-old, which I was at the time, should look like and what I actually looked like. And I used a filter, an aging filter, and said, you know, people think that I look, that I should look like this, where you see me gray-haired and wrinkled, but instead, in fact, I look like this, which is what I look like now. And it got a huge response. I had 70 followers and I had 350,000 views. So something resonated with people. So I started putting out videos every day or twice a day. And I built a community from 70 followers to now I'm at 26,000 followers. Which, you know, some people, you know, overnight on TikTok can get hundreds of thousands. It does happen. But, in reality, you know, the way to go is to, you know, slow and steady. And basically, that's what I've been experiencing. And now I have brands that reach out and want me to do, actually have to do one later this evening about, a formula for a saggy neck. So, you know, skin cream, cosmetics, arthritis sprays. I'm getting approached by all these brands who are looking for, you know, the 50 plus demographic and sort of want a spokesperson. So that's something new that happened. And all this happened in my, you know, early 60s. And now I'm in my mid 60s and I'm actually doing a film this month and where I play the lead and, I'm getting campaigns and I am getting voiceover work. It's just exploded. And it was a real lesson learned that it's never too late to, you know, follow your passion and live out your dreams. And that's what I'm here to talk about.
Absolutely. You're preaching to the choir.
Am I?
you are because I started this podcast in December and I've been wanting to start one for at least 5 years prior.
Could never
find a co-host, could never find exactly what I wanted to talk about, because for me, I can talk about anything.
Right.
But you need that one topic that you can talk about anything. That's why I chose history, because history, you can go anywhere.
Right. That's true. I get it.
So tell me more about your two podcasts, where people can find them, what they're about, and anything that sticks out in your mind that you guys have I assume you have a co-host.
Yes, for one of them.
Anything that sticks out in your mind that you guys have discussed?
So I do a podcast called Noon Hour Out of the Box. Like I mentioned earlier, you can catch it on Esther's YouTube channel, Bobby Short Shorts YouTube channel.
Is it live?
It's live. And then it's also the audio does get uploaded, but we're a few weeks behind on that to Spotify and other streaming platforms. And Esther's Breeze is also on Esther's Breeze YouTube channel, Bobby Short Shorts YouTube channel. I don't have a co-host on that one. And that one's at only twice a month. And also it's uploaded to Spotify and all those other streaming platforms. And it's a little few, you know, it's a few weeks behind as well. So Noon Hour Out of the Box, my co-host is Robert D'Alessio, and I have a producer, Jenny DeHame. And we basically talk about many, many different subjects. I think the most memorable was probably when I, and it was my idea to talk about polyamory. So I thought, wow, that's an interesting lifestyle. And I was seeing it all over YouTube and TikTok, and it had become a thing. And I thought, all right, let's investigate. Let's see what it's all about. Who gets into that lifestyle? Why do they get into that lifestyle? What's the difference between polyamory and swingers? And you know, just a lot of people are confused between the two. And I found it fascinating. And my co-host was so uncomfortable. He was like, I thought he was gonna just, you know, I don't know, pass out because the subject was so different and out there. And but it was, you know, outside the box. And that was the idea, right? We were supposed to talk about things that sometimes are outside the box. We've talked about phone addiction. Actually, tomorrow we will be talking about how addiction affects others around you. So that's a new subject. We've talked about home and work balance, about depression, about infidelity. I mean, there's like, I don't know, attention deficit disorder. We've talked about medical issues. It's like all over the place in terms of many different subjects, but always, you know, things that maybe people don't always like to talk about, that might make people a little uncomfortable, but that's okay. Because interestingly enough, sometimes those uncomfortable subjects is when we get the most engagements. So that tells you something.
That's absolutely true. You know, I did an interview the other day. We were talking about movies because he's a film producer.
Right.
And we spent not half, but like a large chunk of the podcast talking about mental health.
Ah, yes. That's a biggie.
Yeah,
that's a biggie. And it's interesting how people go there. I was actually a guest on a podcast last week, and the woman who was interviewing me just started talking about her lifestyle as a swinger. Like, who knew? She started like for like 20 minutes. We talked about her lifestyle and how much she loved it and how she had no idea what it was all about and how her boyfriend introduced her to it and how marvelous and wonderful. And I went, okay. So you never know where these conversations will lead you to. And then I said to her, okay, so you're going to come on my podcast now. And that's what we're going to talk about, your swinger lifestyle, because that's going to get attention because people want to know. And because we're live, people can engage. So that's interesting. I also, on Esther's Breeze, where I interview creatives, and it's like last year it was every week. And it started to be a lot, you know, doing that and the other podcast. And because we're live and there's a lot of research that goes into it. So Esther's Breeze is now every second week. And I had a psychic medium on and it was live, and he was doing readings for the members in the audience. All they had to do was provide their name and ask a question. And then he turned it around on me and did a reading on me. And he tells me that there's an issue with my car. He's like, on the right-hand side, it's something with the wheel. Lo and behold, my boyfriend, who helps me in the producing of that one, was on the other side with his laptop going, yeah, I know about that. What are you talking about? In fact, there was an issue. Like, how did he know? So that was that was a lot of fun. And I like that it's interactive as well.
It's funny because I actually also did an episode with a psychic medium, and like, because I have all these questions about,
right,
because my mom, she passed away in 2019, and
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. And within 21 days of that, two of my brothers passed away as well.
Oh my goodness.
That's so awful. Yeah, it's kind of a long story, but so within, I'd say about 45 days of my second brother passing away, I found myself in an elevator trapped for 45 minutes, blacking in and out, and with three other guys with me, but with no air ventilation. I thought I was going to die. And so I had all these questions, and it was topical at the time, because that was right around the time that, that was in 2019. But when he came on, like I the anniversary of that was coming up. That's what it
right.
was. And so he was telling me, he's like, because I had all these questions about my mom, and you know, one of my brothers died. He died slumped over in a hospital in Chatham, Ontario.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. One of my questions was, did he know he was going to die when he went into that washroom? And the psychic's like, no, he didn't know he was going to die. And then the psychic looked at me and went, you know, Matthew, they both hear you. They both hear you when you talk to them when you're alone. And I didn't say that I did that. Because in my car, whenever I'm struggling, whenever it's like the anniversary or it's their birthday or whatever, even if it's not, and I feel closeness, I just start talking to them when I'm in my car alone. And he's like, they can hear you.
And oh my God.
And I was like, wow. If you listen to it, it is on the podcast. If you listen to it, I'm crying in the episode. The guy's name is Artie Hoffman.
That's who I had on, Artie Hoffman.
Wow.
He's right on, isn't he? He's quite amazing.
Right on.
It's scary. It's scary.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a big Artie Hoffman fan, so I get it. And he honestly, when he did the readings, he said other things to me that were interesting, and he actually said to me that he said, you want to be famous, but you don't want to be too famous. You don't want to go that far, because it would take a lot of work and it might make you really uncomfortable. So you only do so much, but you actually could achieve all those things. And where did this come from? Why was he? And in fact, there was a lot of truth to that. And, I'll never understand why exactly. I mean, I have spoken to him here and there. And he tells me that he doesn't really, like, he sort of goes into a trance. He doesn't really remember what he told you. Like, whatever he said to you, he probably doesn't really remember. And he said things to one woman about her financial issues. And then she called me after. And she goes, yes, Esther, you know, it's true. I'm poor. Like, how did he knew just from her name and the question that she asked. He said quite a few things to different people. So it wasn't just what he said to me and about the car. He's really talented, and see, he came through for you as well. That's, I'm a huge fan, and Artie does Artie parties. We talked about his Artie parties.
Yes.
Yeah. He's really a character. Love him.
So being from Montreal, I'm curious, you got two podcasts. You guys ever broach, the topic of politics?
We do not. We try to keep it fun. It's, you know, we sort of scratch on the surface about a few things when we were going through sort of the worst of the lockdowns. We did talk a bit about our feelings about it and about vaccines, because we were a little on sort of different sides of the fence, my co-host and I. And, he was having trouble with, even believing a lot of things, where I'm very, you know, medically oriented. I'm very black and white in that respect. So, you know, we had conversations like that, but we didn't get into anything political. And there's a lot you can get into here, but we try to stay away. So, we're trying to keep it kind of on the light side, just for, you know, more as an entertainment type of podcast. So, but it, you know, like I said, because it's a broadcast, you never know when people are participating, what they're going to interject with and what kind of questions they're going to ask. So things happen, and sometimes it's not in your control. I mean, you can control the banners that come in, but the questions and the banners rather. And we touch the surface, but most of the time we keep it fun.
That's awesome. And have you branched into the wonderful world of writing yet?
I have not, and I'm curious why you're asking me that.
It's just, I've talked with a lot of people who are who are actors, voice actors, podcasters. And the next natural step is always writing, whether it's a book or a screenplay or a short or whatever it is. So I'm just wondering if even that has, you're curious about it or you've contemplated it, or going back to what Artie said, you want to be famous, but not that famous. I don't know. Anything you want to say?
So I have thought about film, like writing a short film. Actually, I have thought about it, and I have thought about writing about, you know, women around my age and, you know, just trying to do something similar to what I did and what they went through and the, you know, the trials and tribulations and the insecurities and then the feeling of like, you know, this is my last chance. Like, you know, I've got, if I don't do it now, it's not like when you're younger. And if, you know, if you don't make it as an actor, well, you know, you can do 5 years doing independent films and then you can do another 5 years doing, like, I don't have the time. The character would not have the time. It's like, it's now or never type of scenario. So, you know, what happens? What do they go through? So I've thought about it. I don't even know if I can write. I'm not sure. I've never really tried. So that's interesting, though. But I did. The thought crossed my mind because I see a lot of people doing it. You know, a lot of actors are now creating their own films just because it's not so easy to get work and they want to keep creative. And, you know, and specifically, you know, actors of a certain age, they find it sometimes more difficult, or they get pigeonholed into a certain, you know, age range, and then they it's difficult to find work, or, you know, things along those lines. So getting, you know, characters that are in my age range, though I get cast for younger, because I'm actually 65, but I fall between the 50 and 60 range, there isn't a ton out there. And they usually go to actors who are more seasoned, who have been around for a long time. I am non-union at the moment. I'm trying to become union. And that's a whole other thing that I'm working on. So, you know, I have, in a way, I have that going for me, because most women my age who are actors are union, because they've been doing this for so long. They eventually get unionized, become professional. So I have that going for me, because the film I'm doing this month is a small independent film, and they, you know, with non-union actors. So, and I'm the main character, and it probably would have been difficult to find someone to fit the role. So I got lucky in that respect. So there's pros and cons with that. But in terms of writing, yes. And it would be a short film if I did.
That's awesome. I'm a writer myself, so
cool.
I really connect with other writers, and you know, the story of how you came into the business, how you started so late, I think that would be a very inspirational tale for people to follow in your path.
Oh, thank you. I've been told that. I do get people who think that it's, oh, I can't believe what you're doing, and you're so inspirational. And I honestly don't. It's not something I intended to do for inspirational purposes. It's just something that kind of happened. And, you know, I credit my ADHD for that, is that I just sort of go in and then I sort of think about it later. I sort of jump at things and try it out. And, you know, in a crazy way, it works for me. So, or it is now working for me. It's almost like I had to wait to be this age for these things to happen so that I could stand out. Whereas if I was a 31-year-old and trying to do a lot of this stuff, I would just be one of many. And kind of now it's a little less usual. So I don't know. Everything happened at the right time.
That's awesome. And so this movie you're in, it's a short, you said.
Yes.
So you're filming it, sorry, next month, you said?
No, so we're filming it. It's called Kate's Song, and it's actually this coming Thursday, so we're in August now. So it's going to be about 6 days of shooting, and we're doing it in the city, and then we're also doing some scenes in the country. And it's a great story. I don't want to get into it too much, but I have to get very emotional a lot. So,
is this something that we can look forward to a future film festival?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe the director is looking definitely for film festivals to possibly even TIFF. We'll see.
That's awesome.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I have one that's actually that I did where I played a supporting role that's at a film festival August 28th called Inside. And I played the mother of the lead character. And actually, she was nominated for Best Actress and the film was nominated for Best Director. So I'll be going to that film festival and that'll be fun to see our little film on the big screen that we did last year, like with nothing, no money, nothing. It's hilarious. You know, they come over, we need spaghetti and, you know, we just, it was fun. It was a fun little film.
That's awesome. I love hearing stories like that. You know, I was talking to the filmmaker and he's like, yeah, you can, if you spend a little bit of money and get the right programs and maybe a little piece that you can adapt on your phone, you can shoot the whole movie on your phone.
And I was like, oh, yeah. My son is a singer-songwriter, and he's also on the spectrum of autism. And my good friend, Robert D'Alessio, actually did a music video for him all on his iPhone. And it was amazing. Oh. Yeah, it was amazing. So well done. It's so creative, a great editor. And that's when I saw, like, it's amazing what you can do with the iPhone. It's especially the later models. It can really, replace a lot of the cameras that they're using out there now. So yeah, I agree. And that's all you need sometimes.
Absolutely. And it's nice to know we have another thing in common. You know, my daughter, she's special needs. She suffers from, my wife is going to shoot me. I forgot.
Oh, that's okay.
No, it's a genetic disorder.
Okay.
It's called duplication of chromosome number 8.
Okay, I don't know of that.
So it causes severe developmental delays, and also she, I mean, we can understand her. We speak, her name's Miley. So we say, oh, we speak Miley, because we understand what she's saying. But for the outer world, she has to use sign language.
Right. Yeah, that it is. It is a different life when you have a child with special needs, and whether they're it's severe or even, you know, high functioning, it's a different life. And it's, our expectations and how life is going to be is very different. I remember reading this poem when I found out that my son had autism. I think it was called Welcome to Amsterdam was the name of the poem. And it's all about, you think, you know, you get all, you know, you pack your bags and you book your tickets to Paris and you have all these expectations and everybody else is going there. And somehow the plane changes course and it goes to Amsterdam and it's different, still great, but different, you know, different expectations, different life issues. And that's what it's like to have a child with special needs. It's Welcome to Amsterdam. And so that's, it was definitely, I've learned a lot because of it. I've learned about myself. I've learned about, how individuals who have autism, how they see the world, how they feel the world. He's high functioning. So he can work, he doesn't like to go to work in the sense that he has issues sometimes with other people because it's more of a social interaction type of difficulty. But at the same time, he likes to hang out with people and he has this crazy ability to write music, to sing, perform. And it's just nuts. And here's a crazy story. The first time we found out that he could write music was my daughter was, I don't know if you know of the Dawson shooting, I think it was 15 years ago, it was a junior college here in Montreal. And
yes,
some kid came in and started shooting. So my daughter was there that day and she was in one of the classrooms and she could hear the shooter. And she called me up hiding under a desk, telling me that there was some guy walking around shooting people and she didn't know what to do. And then the phone went dead. And I was with my son at the time in the car. And we were like, what's happening? And it was crazy. We went home. I was kind of hysterical. My ex-husband was trying to contact her. And then she shows up. So one of the mothers ran down to Dawson, found her kid, found my kid and someone else's kid, and just brought them over to my house. And my ex-husband, who, you know, is very kind of stoic, like broke down crying. And my son this whole time, super quiet, watching everything. And he went to his room. We didn't really hear much. And we were very overwhelmed with what was going on. So we didn't really pay attention. Like, what is David doing? The next day he comes downstairs and he tells us that he wrote a song. Like, who knew David could write music? He was taking guitar lessons, but we had no idea. And he said, yeah, I wrote this song. It's called Innocence Lost on a Wednesday. And that was the day of the shooting. And he started playing this music and we were floored. We had no idea he could do this. And on top of that, that he wrote this song about what had happened the day before to his sister, because he didn't express it. He didn't react. He just sort of watched and then went away. So that's an interesting story about how we found out that he had this talent and about how he sometimes interprets, you know, what goes on around him and how he takes his emotions that he sometimes doesn't know what to do with and he puts it into music. So that was how we discovered that he had this crazy talent. And so we try to nurture it. He's 31 years old now. He has three songs on Spotify and other streaming platforms. And he has a producer and, you know, he's trying and we're helping him. He's called David Sean. Latest song is called Still Alive. And he's actually, and he had another music video done. And he's actually, he writes really, really good songs. So that's so from something that was so difficult and negative came this crazy, incredible talent. And that's what we focus on with him. But, you know, there are a lot of other challenges, but that's, you know, we focus on the positive. So
that's an amazing story. See, I knew you were holding out on me.
Yeah, I could just go on and on. So that's it's a true story. I've actually talked about it before because it's kind of mind-boggling. And at the time, I didn't really piece it all together. But when I realized that I had my story to tell, that in my story, there was also his story. So, you know, there were all these, you know, amazing things that happened from things that were negative because I got so ill, I decided to, you know, go for it. And because of, you know, his, you know, disability came this, and from this horrible incident came this knowledge of this crazy talent that he had. So somehow in all this adversity, sometimes there's this incredible shining light that shines through. So this is the lesson I've learned in life that, you know, we have a lot of those stories.
Absolutely. Wow. You know what? I have a story too, but I'm not even going to try to compete with that.
Who's competing? I didn't know it was a contest. Had I known, I would have thought of some more. I hear you. We all have stories. We all have stories to share. And, you know, in sharing them, you know, we actually inadvertently kind of help others. And I didn't know that talking about ageism and positive aging would resonate with people. But oh, my God, I get comments all the time from a lot of people, especially men. I don't know why they're more verbal about it, about how difficult it is, you know, over the age of 50, over the age of 60, feeling invisible, you know, trying new things in life or even, you know, you know, they're a widower, they're divorced and finding, you know, meeting other people, how difficult it is. So, you know, and they talk about it like a lot. So they need someone to sort of, you know, I don't know, represent them, I guess, or something. It's quite interesting.
Absolutely. I feel that, you know, I'm only 39 years old, but, I'm on my second marriage, and I tell you something, if my wife wasn't very patient and tolerated me, I don't know what I would do. So I understand completely about, you know, it's hard to meet new people, especially in this post-pandemic world that we find ourselves living in.
And isn't it an interesting world, because we're out there, but we're not out there. I think we're free, but there's still a little bit of, and we got used to being inside and, you know, having this sort of, you know, enclosed life. And, you know, sometimes I kind of even miss it a little. Is that crazy? I kind of miss it sometimes, because now there's all these other expectations, like, oh, all those people that you know, because I changed everything during these last 2 years. Now I have to like go out and meet these people or go out and attend functions. And I'm kind of a, you know, introvert, extrovert. Like I struggle with both sides. And so, you know, sometimes it's difficult. People, social situations drain me. They don't give me more life. They don't make me excited. My boyfriend, for instance, is such an extrovert that when he is out socializing, it gives him energy. He's like flying high, and I'm slowly getting drained, you know? So it's a different,
difficult. I feel you, because my wife, she calls herself a social butterfly, and she is. She'll talk to anyone. She'll help anyone. She loves it. And for me, like, before this podcast came along, I'm good at home.
Yeah,
I'm good. The TV's there. I'm good.
Same here.
I'll make it work.
I mean, that's exactly why I got into all this, because I there's a screen here. I have my phone here. You know, it's like this is comfy cozy for me. Put me out on stage, but I have to say that podcasting/broadcasting has really made me more comfortable speaking, like public speaking. I recently took a workshop, an acting workshop, and I had to go on stage, and it wasn't as terrifying for me as it would have been 2-3 years ago. And I realized it's because I've sort of gotten used to being on screen. I've gotten used to going live, and I've gotten used to speaking. So there's a definite plus in doing this, even in terms of, you know, someone like myself or yourself who, you know, we're sort of introverts, but we're kind of extroverts, but we're introverts. So yeah, it does help in that respect.
So what do you, aside from this movie that you're filming, what do you see next? What's on the horizon? What do you see in the next 2 to 3 years?
That's interesting, because I don't see that far ahead. Wow. I would definitely like to be more involved in film and TV. I used to always say as a joke, like, you know, I'll be okay just, you know, being the neighbor and saying a few lines. Just I don't have to be the main character. I just sort of enjoy, you know, being on set and sort of learning and seeing what other people are doing. So, you know, I'd like to be more involved in that. And I would also like to write that short film, but I think I would need to do it with someone. I think that I don't know if that's something I would want to do alone. I would, you know, I'm not used to writing. I can tell a story, but to translate it to paper, I've never really tried it. So yeah, I could see myself doing that. I have a little bit of an interest in directing, believe it or not. I have like a little, I don't really know where that comes from, but sometimes when I see stories being told, I sometimes think of how I would have done it, or how I would have talked to the actor, or how I would have set up the scene. So there's a little bit of interest there as well, but we'll see. Who knows? I'm very open and, you know, just ready to try different things.
Well, that's awesome. And I want to thank you for coming on, doing this interview, trusting me to be able to facilitate that. It means a lot to me, and again, thank you.
My pleasure. You made it easy, and you were, I don't know, your questions were thoughtful and you were very engaged. So I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you. Thank you.